नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्तादिश्रुतारिणे चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासादि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nittai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Prabhupad. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Prabhupad. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sharashati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Vishatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samabeto Bhakta Vrinda Ki His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj Ki Srila Jayapataka Swami Maharaj Vyas Puja Mahotsav ki, Samabeto Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanande. Although it's a very festive occasion that brought us all here today, but at the same time we can't avoid feeling an intense pain. Although Krishna has been very merciful that he allowed Jayapataka Maharaj to continue and stay on here, but at the same time it's very painful to see him in this condition. The personality who was so powerful, who was so strong, who was so active, who was so enthusiastic. Yesterday, when I met Maharaj in the temple room, we embraced each other. Maharaj was telling me that although I can't express it, but I'm smiling inside. I told him, but I'm crying inside. So it's very painful, especially when you have so many wonderful memories of Maharaj here in Mayapur. Maharaj had been an inseparable part of Mayapur since practically the inception of Mayapur project. He was the one to come here. He was the one to be sent by Srila Prabhupada here. When there was nothing, I joined in 76. Even at that time, although there had been a lot of development in Mayapur, but there was compared to today, the Mayapur was very undeveloped and practically empty. There was only this lotus building. The temple was on the ground floor of the of that building. We had small Radha Madhav deities and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deity. And there were just some rooms on the wall. There was a boundary wall by the road. And on this side of the wall, there were rooms. Those rooms are still there. And we all used to stay there in those rooms. This long building was under construction. And besides that, there was nothing. There was nothing. By the gate, there was one small structure, which was a warehouse. We used to call it godown. And we used to keep cement and other construction materials there. And there was nothing in Mayapur. And outside, there was nothing, no shops, nothing. On the wall, two devotees, Anakadundabi Prabhu and Pandu Prabhu, were doing the paintings of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And they're beautiful. They used to work from morning till night, just painting on the walls by the road. And there was no shop. There was no rickshaw. There was no very few people who used to come. But we used to have a very wonderful community here in Mayapur. We used to have maybe about 150 devotees those days. And we used to have a wonderful time. And Jayaprataka Maharaj was our leader. He was taking care of us in all respects. There was Jayaprataka Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj. They were two co-directors. Bhavananda Maharaj was mostly involved in development and construction. Not construction so much, but just internal. But Jayaprataka Maharaj was the one who was making all the arrangements. He used to make arrangements for the funds. Those days there was not so much money. And Calcutta was supposed to maintain Mayapur, and there was a constant struggle. And because Mayapur didn't have any source of income, And I've seen how Jayaprataka Maharaj struggled those days. And we had such a wonderful time together. Like, those days we are not traveling so much. Those days we are not going out so much. We are just here all the time. Morning till night. And you know what we used to do around this time of the day? We all used to go to the Ganga. And we used to spend a lot of time together there. We used to put Ganga mud on our body and just lie there and make the muds get dry. And we are told it was very healthy. And yes, we were very healthy those days. And we used to, those days Ganga was not so close. We had to walk quite a distance. Ganga was practically 1 kilometer away, and we used to walk all the way. Ganga has shifted so much recently. And at one time there was a fear that Ganga may even take over this Mayapur temple. But we prayed and Ganga decided, and she very mercifully listened to our prayers, and she stayed there and didn't move further. Often there used to be the fear of attacks, because this place was not very safe. We are just a small little community here, surrounded by all kinds of people. There were lots of Muslim villages around, and they were not very friendly. Many of them were not. Some of them were very friendly, but there was an anxiety, and we were quite an opulent community, and there was a fear that the dacoits, there used to be dacoits around, they could attack. But we were all felt very secure because we knew that Jayapataka Maharaj was there. And sometimes there had been attacks. Like I remember one day, we were sitting one evening. Evening means around 8, 9 o'clock. I don't exactly remember. We used to sit in Maharaja's room on the roof, and then there was an English devotee called Abhimanyu Prabhu. He was the security in charge. He was from the British Army. He was a commando of the British Army. Very agile person. He really was very well trained and active soldier. Sometimes he used to demonstrate. He would jump from the third floor, and he would land on the landing on the ground, just like as smooth as a cat. So they learned those as a commando. They learned all those things. He was a very agile person. And so one day he came and he told us, he just rushed into Jayapataka Maharaj's room and said that we have been attacked in the Goshala. We used to have our cows in the Goshala. And we were afraid that we've been attacked. And so we just picked up sticks and spears or whatever we had. We used to have them piled up downstairs as a safety measure. So we just picked up the sticks and spears and whatever we could get, and we just ran. And guess who was on the lead of that party? Srila Jayapataka Maharaj. And we ran through the field. There was nothing there. We just ran, all of us, about 40, 50 of us just ran. By the time we reached there, whoever came, they just left. They ran away. They were afraid. We couldn't keep guns because the license was difficult to get. Later on, Nitaichand Prabhu got a license for a revolver. And we didn't have, but we had one or two shotguns. And we are very worried to keep any weapon like that, because the people, local people, including the government, they were under the impression that we are the CIA and we are we have stacks of weapons here underground, and people used to come not to see the temple, they used to come out of curiosity to find out where we have the stacks of weapons here. And people those days in Bengal especially, you were under the misconception that ISKCON is a CIA setup. And so sometimes we used to have these attacks. I remember once there was one devotee brought, I think Jayapada Kumar had arranged that, got some crossbows from America. These crossbows were like bows with a thing to hold, and you can mechanically pull the bow string, and you can put an arrow and you can shoot. And they used to go very powerful, they used to become very powerful. So these were the kind of weapons we used to have to safeguard, because we couldn't have guns because of government restrictions and because of the strict vigilance they had on us. We had to be very careful not to give anything illegally. And Jayapadaka Maharaj was out there. We used to practice. There was a target and we used to practice. And Jayapadaka Maharaj was so good that he would always hit the bullseye, hit the center of the target. And later on he told me that, told us that he used to be an expert marksman in his college days. He was very good at shooting. Yes. He was an expert. He was expert in so many things. He was expert swimmer. And sometimes he used to go to the Ganges, and Maharaj very easily used to swim across and come back without any effort. And sometimes some devotees used to be in trouble in the river. They were about to, sometimes devotees panicked and they was about to drown. One such devotee was Adiruddha Prabhu, who is now Radha Jivan Prabhu. He was caught in the midstream. He lost his breath and he panicked. And when then Jayapadaka Maharaj just came and he just carried him to the shore. So all these memories are so vivid in my mind. To see Maharaj in this condition is very painful. Like a person who had been such a source of energy. Even recently, one of our God brothers, when I gave a report of Jayapadaka Maharaj's recovery, and when I went and saw him and I saw how he recovered, Badri Narayan Prabhu, one of our God brothers, he commented that Jayapadaka Maharaj is an irresistible source of energy, irresistible force of nature that can never be stopped. Like his, although it is painful to see Maharaj in this condition, but that's, at the same time, we have to remember that the recovery that he made, I mean, it was actually medically, it is unheard of. It never happened. Never happened. Like when Maharaj was hospitalized that morning, at 7 o'clock they had a CT scan on him. At first they couldn't detect the emergency. When he was brought in the emergency ward, they made his preliminary checkup. Like, I think they took the x-ray, the blood pressure, and so forth. And their report was, there was nothing serious. And we all felt very relieved. Okay, nothing serious. It's only a temporary thing. But then, when the head of the department came, the head of the brain department came, the doctor, I forgot his name. Here's the head of the neurology department, and two of them came, head of the neurology department and the surgeon, the neurosurgeon. And when they came, two of them came, they took a CT scan, and they got the report of the CT scan. The CT scan had already been done. And that is the time they detected that Maharaj's hemorrhage was on the stem. Now, the stem of the brain is where the brain is merging into a small narrow passage, and then it converges into the nervous system through the spinal cord. And they said that, I mean, they can't do anything about this. Had it been anywhere else, no matter how severe the hemorrhage was, they could have done something, they could have operated, they could have done something. But this is some area where they can't do anything. They don't even dare to touch that area, because if anything goes wrong, then the consequence can be very, very dangerous. And they say that we can't do anything now. And they also gave the report. They also gave their opinion that, you know, maybe only a few percent people survive. And those who survive, they become paralyzed. So you can consider the situation was that the chances of survival was very little, and if he survived, the possibility was that he could be paralyzed. And we are naturally in extreme anxiety, like, although we never thought that anything dangerous could happen to Maharaj, although we had the conviction that Krishna would protect his devotee. So, but at the same time, at the back of our mind, there was this concern that what's going to happen. And then, they contacted one person in Navadvip who is a mystic, and he can predict things. And so somebody just came to me, said that this person has called and he wanted to speak to me. And because others didn't speak Bengali there, so I took the phone, and he wanted me to hold the phone near Maharaj's ears. So he really chanted some mantras and things. And then I was speaking to him, and he assured me. He said he just told us what we all wanted to hear at that time. And he said, he's a devotee, nothing will happen to him. Krishna will protect. And this is exactly, I just needed to hear that. So I just rushed out to the thing. Devotees were outside of Maharaj's intensive care area. And I just told the devotees what happened. And I just blurted out, Maharaj is a devotee and nothing is going to happen to him. Everything will be alright. Krishna will take care of him. And And I could see the devotees also just wanted to hear that. Some just exclaimed, "Jai!" And some just broke down crying. It was a very, very intense moment at that time. It was so intense, like those few days, like, was very, very difficult. And some of you, some of your Guru Maharaj's disciples took care of him so nicely. It's extremely remarkable. It was extremely wonderful to see how much love you have for your Guru Maharaj. How tirelessly you served him without sleeping. There was no way it's a hospital, so there was nowhere they could actually stay or sleep. So many of you just standing outside the hospital, out in the open, in the bright, hot sun and wind and cold of night. And in a way, I feel that through Maharaj, Krishna actually is teaching us a very important lesson that he gave the assurance that he will protect his devotees, and through that he is showing how he, through Maharaj, is showing how he protects his devotees. The doctors gave up. Actually, the doctors, the second night actually, I got a message. Brajahari Prabhu phoned me and asked me to come down to Gopal Krishna Maharaj's room. And so we came down, and there were a few senior devotees. And they decided to have a meeting because the doctors confided in Ashok Hinduja, the proprietor of Hinduja Hospital, that the chances of Maharaj's survival is practically non-existent. And my response to that was that let the doctors think whatever they want, but nothing will happen. Gopal Krishna Maharaj also responded. He said, "Yes." So that is how we decided, let's not listen to the doctors. Let's just pray to Krishna. Let's depend upon Krishna. And Krishna showed how he takes care of his devotees. And this also establishes how dear a devotee Jayapataka Maharaj is of Krishna. How dear he is to Krishna. That Krishna is protecting him. Although we do not know why such a thing happens, why such a thing happens to a devotee like him, who has no other desire but to serve Srila Prabhupada, bestow his compassion and mercy to the people all over the world. But we are seeing, in spite of everything, getting better. From a situation which was impossible, the doctors said so, that he is not going to survive. In 2 days he will, maximum within 2 days he will leave. But from that, what a reversal of the situation. Last night I had a dream also. I'll tell you about that dream. I saw Maharaj was in his room, like not in his regular room, but some room, a makeshift room, that is where Maharaj is now. In that room, Maharaj is actually looking something into, he is sitting down and looking at something into his suitcase. So when I saw that, I got very worried. I thought that because nobody is around, Maharaj needed something. I felt quite angry. How come there is nobody around? Why Maharaj had to get up and look for something himself? And but then Maharaj turned around and looked at me, and I could see that he looked normal. And not only he looked normal, he looked even brighter, more brilliant. And I told him, Maharaj, you're all right. And he said, yes, I'm all right. And I felt so happy. And I have full confidence, yes, that's how it's going to happen. So, he'll not only recover from his critical health condition, but he will become absolutely all right again. And I also see that in spite of everything, Maharaj is still teaching us such wonderful lessons. In a situation like this, I don't know how I would have reacted, because I know I get a little sick and I stop everything. But Maharaj, in spite of his sickness, he is just going around preaching. Last month, about a month ago, maybe a little more than a month ago, in Bombay, there was Radhanath Maharaj's, in Pune, Radhanath Maharaj had his Jatra, Pune Jatra. Every year he has this Jatra. About 4,000 or 5,000 devotees come from all over. And so I came to Bombay. I just came from abroad, and I was in Bombay, so I went to see Maharaj. Then I told him that I was going to Pune the next day. And he told me, I'm also coming. Now just consider. I mean, Maharaj was in such a condition, like nobody could even think of traveling, what to speak of, when going to attend a festival where 5,000 devotees were there. And when Maharaj expressed that desire to the doctors, practically all the doctors gave up the possibility. They just said, no, it's not, he can't go now. And they were worried that if he strains too much, then it may have some adverse effect on his body. But Maharaj was so determined, he just wanted to go. So finally, the head of the hospital, the doctor who was the head of the hospital, he just said, okay, let him go. If he wants to go, let him do whatever he wants to do. And yes, he arrived in the evening, and all the devotees were there, about 4,000 devotees were there, and you can well imagine how happy they all were to see Maharaj. And then I could realize that Maharaj took the trouble to go there just to give this joy to all these devotees, just to create this happy moment. He knew that how much they will appreciate to see him. And he spoke. We could see that the way he spoke, his consciousness was completely clear. That actually shows that this is another sign of a pure devotee. He is not affected by his physical condition. He is a pure spirit soul. So he is the pure spirit soul functioning through the body. So whatever the condition of the body is, his consciousness is not affected by that. His ability to express it through the body may be hampered, but his consciousness is not at all affected. His consciousness is completely clear. When Maharaj told me, when Maharaj started to get a little better, and I visited him in the hospital, and he told me, "You asked me to stay, and that's why I stay." I told him, "How do you know?" At that time, we were unconscious. He said, "No, I knew." So apparently, he was unconscious, but he knew what was going on. He even told me, "Oh, you are reciting Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's what I used to do. I used to go there and recite Chaitanya Charitamrita." And he was hearing. Although, through the body he couldn't express. And that's why you thought that he was unconscious. But he was not conscious. He was in pure Krishna consciousness. Maharaj was there. We used to visit Maharaj, and so this is how such a wonderful lesson he is teaching us. And then, as you know, like Maharaj came to a GBC meeting. Maharaj was telling me that he would like to come to Mayapur on 20th of March. I'm sorry, 20th of February, to attend the GBC, to be here on the GBC meeting. And I was worried. I was thinking that to take a flight. Anyway, he drove to Pune is one thing, but to take a flight and would have been very difficult for his health. But he did it. He did it. So, indeed, Maharaj is an irresistible force of nature that cannot be stopped. He will carry on, defying all the laws of material nature. Because he is not functioning on this platform. He is functioning on that platform. Spiritual platform. That is the indication. That's a sign of a pure devotee. And we have seen that with Srila Prabhupada. Although physically he was in a very, very difficult condition, but his consciousness was absolutely clear. So clear that Prabhupada, although he couldn't even turn to his side, although he was bedridden for so many months, although he didn't have any energy to even lift his own hand, but he was translating Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was translating Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto. The 13th chapter of 10th Canto, Brahma Mohan Leela, Prabhupada did lying on his bed. That way, a completely pure consciousness. Prabhupada could not translate. Prabhupada couldn't even sit up. Jayadeva Maharaj used to hold the microphone of the dictaphone, the mouthpiece of the dictaphone, in front of Prabhupada's mouth. Pradyumna Prabhu used to read out the verses, and Prabhupada used to translate, and Prabhupada gave the purport. So we had the good fortune of seeing that, how pure devotee functions from a pure spiritual platform without being totally unaffected by the physical condition. And once again we are seeing with Jayapataka Maharaj that how he is totally unaffected by his physical condition. Pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness. That consciousness is not affected at all by the physical condition. So in that sense, although it is painful to see him in that state, but at the same time, it's so wonderful to watch him that he is displaying, he is demonstrating his very, very exalted spiritual position. We all are very fortunate to have such an exalted devotee amongst us. We are very fortunate to have the association of such an exalted devotee. And let us pray to Krishna that we can have him with us for many, many more years to come. Let him be here forever. Tomorrow is his Vyas Puja celebration, and we're looking forward to that festivity, and let us celebrate his Vyas Puja with this sincere prayer to Krishna that let him be here for, as I said, forever, benefiting the world. We may not be here, we may leave, but let him be here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So there was another request came. There was also an attempt on his life few decades back. Could you please elaborate? Yeah. Okay. What is your advice for us disciples of Jayaprakash Swami is a service to disciples of Jayaprakash Swami in our service to Guru Maharaj? Okay, so there are two requests. I'll just make them briefly. I'll try to speak on that. Yes, that was in 1989 summer. Jayaprakash Maharaj was in Spain, and there was one mad devotee. Not a devotee actually, he was there in the temple. But he was, first of all, he was a crazy man, and then he also was a devout Christian. For some reason, he attacked Jayaprakash Maharaj. Maharaj was in the airport. Those days, the airport were quite free. Like nowadays, only the passengers can go in. But those days, practically anybody could go to the... There was hardly any security. And Jayaprakash Maharaj checked in and everything. And just as he checked in, this person just jumped on him from behind, and with a knife, extremely sharp knife, he just tried to cut his throat. And he succeeded. And anyway, so that was another very, very unfortunate incident. Maharaj was hospitalized immediately. And that incident also was very remarkable, because the doctor noticed that if the knife went even half a centimeter deeper, then that would have cut the jugular vein. And if the jugular vein was cut, there was no way he could have survived. So there again, another incident where Krishna actually saved Maharaj. So another wonderful incident. So, like, although it is very unfortunate that why such a person was attacked for no rhyme or reason. He never harmed anyone. Then why such a crazy person go out of his way to attack him? And anyway, so that was another incident where Krishna actually saved him. And the advice to Maharaj's disciples, I'll say, first of all, you consider yourself to be very, very fortunate that you have such a glorious spiritual master who was so dear to Srila Prabhupada, who committed himself in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world in such a remarkable way, and who is always so eager to bestow his mercy upon whoever comes on his way. And so now that you have found such a glorious spiritual master, commit yourself to serve him and serve his mission wholeheartedly without any reservation. And that is how you are going to achieve your spiritual perfection. Thank you very much. Now Loknath Maharaj is here. Maharaj is giving the class. No. Srila Loknath Maharaj Ki. Another wonderful disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Another wonderful general of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Gaur Premanande.